He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Here we are back in the Fiasco Studio, recording studio, and it's great to be in Vancouver.
And this is the first time in about over a year and a half that we've done this face-to-face at Lens Studio, right?
18 months, yeah. And the first thing I thought is nothing's changed. It's still dynamite. It's still great. And Lynn is the man. But it is good to be back here in Vancouver and to be in the recording studio and to wear the headphones and have all the gear on. And it's just, it's a marvelous day, dear.
It certainly is. And you know what day it is today?
Right. And it was actually me who reminded you, which is unusual. It is our
anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
So I expect presents and chocolates and furs and diamonds and all kinds of good
stuff.
Well,
I already gave you your gift this morning.
That's disgusting. No, you didn't. I got no gifts.
That was my gift that I gave to you, but it was actually for me.
Okay,
anyway, how many years? 18 years?
We've been married 18 on the record.
Of bliss?
And we've been together 20.
And what is the Shakespearean saying? Ignorance is bliss, except when foolish to be wise?
I guess so. So I hope you got some big things planned for me.
I will supply the demand. That is the CHI principle
Good.
Of life. Supply
okay.
your biological demand.
Great.
You supply mine, I supply yours.
All right then.
Good, good, good. Okay, so moving on to our first and number one topic. What's cooking?
Oh boy, what's cooking? Well, summertime is here, finally here, and it's time to bare our bodies. Right? So you see more people wearing shorts and halter tops and guys going...
I love it.
Guys going bare-bodied and the legs are showing and the arms are showing. So what you eat really makes a big role in your skin tone and how it looks and how it feels. And you're more likely in the hot weather to be wanting to have more fruits and more salads and lean meats and not eating heavy, heavy, heavy foods such as like a lasagna or something.
Like French fries and hamburgers and milkshakes.
Well, you know, hamburgers, you know, with the barbecue, but, you know, lasagna is good anytime as far as I'm concerned.
Really, if you really think about what I just said, that's really heavy food. That's the wrong food to eat in the summer. It's the wrong food to eat anytime, but definitely in the summer.
Right. Anyway, mango salsa. And I don't know if I've mentioned this before, the mango salsa, but mango season is out now. There's mangoes everywhere. Well, especially in Vancouver. I hope they are everywhere else in the world. But it's a really perfect time to make a mango salsa, which can be accompanied to any barbecue summer dish, fish, meat, chicken, and ribs. And mango salsa can be eaten on top of a healthy cracker or topped on a lettuce salad. Instead of mustard or mayonnaise, you can spread it on a whole grain wrap with or without your favorite protein.
Sorry, dear. I'm just not into salsas and stuff like that. But go ahead.
You love this one. You've had it and you love it.
I don't put stuff on things. You know me. I don't like gravies and sauces and salsas and...
Protein and salad. He says to me, so I said...
I like it plain, man.
I said,
plain.
So what do you want for dinner, Corey? He goes, protein and salad. I said, can you give me some ideas? Oh, just protein and salad. After a while, can you throw me a bone here, you know? What do you want? Oh, protein and salad.
I do. I throw you a bone every day, but it's dry and bare and it's big.
All right. Anyways, so this is a colorful mango salsa. And I use like 2 mangoes and I cut them up into small cubes, 2 shallots chopped, a red pepper cut into small cubes, a tablespoon of fresh dill in small pieces, a tablespoon of fresh basil, and a tablespoon of fresh cilantro, and a zest and the juice of 1 lime, and a little bit of extra virgin olive oil, and some sea salt to taste. And you mix all these ingredients together. Now, you could eat it right away, or you can leave it in the fridge for 1 or 2 days. It might get a little bit mushy after 2 days, but just eat it up, and the colors are beautiful, and it really does go with any meat, fish, or chicken. It's beautiful. So try it out, because it's mango season right now. So that's it. That's
well,
all.
It reminds me of one of my rules, another CHI principle, and that is we're supposed to eat everything whole, fresh, real, straight from the source, from nature, right? Now, obviously, you don't go hiking up into the bush and find a jar of salsa, right? It's made by people. So the key here, the next step from the whole state of everything in its natural state is take something whole, something fresh, something alive, retain the value, try not to process it, and then mix it together in its whole state without adding some of the refined processed dead materials. I was just reading something this morning on how a high glycemic impact of food increases risk of cancer and Alzheimer's. So we've got to retain all of the so-called impurities in food. It's the purified food we have to be careful of, right?
Right. Absolutely. So this is all fresh. Everything's natural. Everything's fresh. Try to eat as whole, right from nature as possible. But you know what was really getting to me these days is the fact of this natural thing. I mean, everything we do is unnatural. It really, even right now, what we're doing, we're sitting with headphones on in front of a computer. I'm drinking a cup of coffee that was percolated. I'm wearing clothes that aren't natural, sorry to say. I'm sitting on a chair that's made of, I wish it was leather, but it's probably plastic, right, Lynn? The air that we're breathing is not natural. The light's not natural. So, I mean, what is natural? So the point is try to eat as whole food as you possibly can, and you do the best that you can do in this day and age.
Right.
That's all you can do.
And it's not about whether it's natural. It's about whether or not it's beneficial, positive, and useful. And that is something that you should be able to predict and measure and determine and calculate. So if consuming a food or performing an exercise or doing anything that you do is beneficial, we should be able to measure its influence on you and your performance as a consequence and determine whether it's useful or not.
Right.
Because there are many things that are natural from nature that are not beneficial.
Right.
And also there are artificial things, things that are created through technology that are highly beneficial to humanity and our future. And some of the technologies, fantastic. So yeah, let's lose that reference to natural as it's used in a very misleading way, especially as propaganda in the natural food industry.
Right.
Because a vitamin pill in a bottle is not
natural. Right.
But is it beneficial? Well, in most cases, it is.
Right. So you do the best you can possibly do. As long as you can wake up in the morning and you can feel your fingers and your toes and you can wake up and you have a positive mental attitude and you're not tired unless you didn't get enough sleep and you did a major hardcore workout the night before. But if you can wake up and you feel good and you're ready to face the day, then I think you're doing okay.
Well, it's just like I said to the last girlfriend I was with before I met you. If that's your best, it ain't good enough, sweetheart.
For God's sake.
Okay, so that's super duper. Moving on to our next topic. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Alex Schwesky, who is the co-founder, sales and business development for Manitoba Harvest Hemp Foods and Oils. So Alex shed some light on hemp developments and the growing operation of the actual product. And it was very interesting how far hemp is going these days.
Right. And I just read a report recently that Oregon might be the first state to reenact a legislation that will allow them to start growing hemp, which is great because right now in the United States, it's illegal to grow industrial hemp. And so talk about freedom. You want to talk about freedom. Canada is by far much freer than the United States, which bases a lot of its propaganda on being free. And they talk about freedom and liberty, but they are restricted in many, many ways. One of which, in this example, is the fact that they cannot grow industrial hemp, which is a wonderful, incredible plant that is so virtuous and so nutritious. It's absolutely ridiculous that it's illegal to grow in the United States.
It certainly is. But hemp is such a wonderful product. I mean, to eat and to wear and to walk on. And we did get some of his harvest hemp protein that he sent to us.
And
which
it's
is creamy tasting.
Very nice. It's a 70%. It's a concentrate. And I predicted years ago that eventually the industry would begin to yield higher concentrations of protein from hemp. And I think hemp is a great food, a great plant. We've got some wonderful connections with different hemp suppliers, with Vega, for example, wonderful people. And you know what? Canada has such great quality. So when we are exporting our hemp products to the world, we are setting a standard that
right.
is unmatchable.
That's right.
Which I love.
That's
I just absolutely
right.
love.
That's right. We're proud to be Canadian.
So hail to the hemp.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So thank you, Alex, for your expert interview. We really appreciate it. And I know that our listeners will too.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get into the juicy part now. Highway to Health, our tour update. What's cooking on your end?
Well, you and I met up after 3.5 months of absence, and now I'm back.
That's called abstinence, dear.
And now I'm back in the RV again, and it took me a little while to get used to it because I had to move everything back in, and then I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, and you like you took over too.
That's
it's just
right.
Like, oh my God, which was better, being alone in the States without my wife, or being back reunited in the happy state? Let me think.
Well, there you go. And his big feet were in my way, so we kind of got used to it. It took me a couple of weeks just to get used to you being in my way again, but nonetheless, we're back at it again, and it's everything's fine. It's kind of great to be on the road again.
You know, it was really cool, and I'll always remember this for as long as my faculties remain intact, and that is when I first saw you after 3.5 months of not seeing you, and it was great. I just felt like highly attracted to you, which was kind of a new sensation after about 20 years. But anyway, it was really good to see you. It was fantastic. You know, when you're away from people that you love and care about, and you prioritize everyone in your life that's important, and then when you see them after not seeing them for a while, it's wonderful. It's a great feeling.
Right. It was like we never left. Well, because we did talk on Skype and had the webcam and all that, and we emailed and talked every single day for hours.
Which is a wonderful technology,
yes,
by the
is.
Way. For those people out there that are not using Skype, even Oprah uses Skype. You know, when she does her interviews and you see her, the people in the home that she talks to, they're all on Skype. So get a laptop with a webcam, buy a webcam for your computer if you don't have it, get onto Skype, download it. It's very inexpensive. And then you can see the people that you're talking to. This is like Star Trek
I
stuff,
know.
Man.
And speaking of that, we saw the Star Trek movie.
Oh, man. I'm still tingling, man. Unbelievable. The single best Star Trek in the history of Star Trek. And I would have to say now, because I'm a movie lover, Gladiator, Conan, Terminator 2, the new Star Trek movie is right up there. It was flawless. It was beautiful. It was stimulating. I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it was good. I'm not really a Star Trek follower, but I really, really enjoyed the movie. And also, we've had lots of picnics. We've had lots of kids' birthday parties, which is fun, at the beach. We have been meeting up with some of our CSNA students. We met Katie DeRussia and Daryl Greenwood, Spencer and Fraser Copen.
And it's great to see how they're moving forward in their businesses.
Oh, and they're just all doing fantastic. And they all look
fantastic.
Hot.
Yes.
Really good looking people. So we're very proud of them. Ruby is starting to work full time now because this will be the first time in her life that she will ever have to pay rent. So it's kind of freaky for me, for my daughter to be on her own, but of course we'll always help
her. Hey, there's a great song, God Bless the Child Who Has Their Own. We have to teach children to be independent and survive in the world.
And she's working like two jobs. She's working 8 hours a day, and then on the weekend she works, and she's, oh, I'm so tired. She's working 50 hours a week, and it won't take her long to build up on it, but...
Well, she's finished high school.
Yep.
She's on her own. She doesn't have any plans to go to school. And she understands the significance of education, that it's not something that you have to go to a school to get. It's called life and living and learning and focusing on what you really want and dream about.
Yes, it's just a new, you know, it's a new phase for her. It won't last forever. Well, working will last
forever. Hey, nothing lasts forever, dear, except the pain.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting to see her going through a new phase. So anyway, that's my little thing that I did when you were gone. So what did you do?
Well, since we last talked and I was in Loveland, Colorado, I had seen and spent some fantastic time with the Lakeshore Boys. I had talked about how a bunch of them had gotten together and were forming a new band, and I was in their recording studio and they were like jamming away. And just like Len, fantastic guitar players. Soul music, rock and roll. It was just so completely awesome. Colorado, as you know, honey, is fantastic when it comes to music. So anyway, one of them, one of our friends that we had met before, Todd and what was?
Gwen.
Okay. So lovely couple. And, you know, like he's a professional wakeboarder and he's a musician and he's really cool. So anyway, they decided to get married. So we missed the actual ceremony because you were away and I had to get back up to Canada, but I was there for the stag. So they said, The stag is at Gurnee State Park, which is north of Loveland in Wyoming, exactly in the direction that I need to go. So I said, hey, I'm inviting myself to the stag. Can I come? They said, of course. So a bunch of us went up to this state park in Wyoming, which was unbelievable. Gigantic reservoir, perfect for what these guys are into, which is wakeboarding and wake surfing.
And cliff diving.
And I'm telling you, these guys are fearless. They're crazy. They're nutso. But we went up onto the cliffs and dove and jumped and had a rip-roaring great time. We had wonderful times together. We drank a lot of beer. We cracked a lot of jokes. They brought out one of those blow-up dolls and were doing all kinds of silly, crazy things.
The kinds
of things that guys will do when there's no girls around.
And it's a stag.
At a campsite.
And apparently she was plastic.
So, you know, who's the first guy to puke and who's the first guy to get pushed off the boat with his clothes on? And it's all about being stupid and ridiculous and having fun.
Right.
But it's harmless.
But you weren't any part of that, though, right?
Oh, no. I just observed.
I was
the old man anyway.
Right, exactly.
I'm like 15, 20 years older than these guys.
Right.
So, but I kept up with them.
I'm sure you did.
It was pretty good. And also, I got to make a comment that USA versus Canada in the horseshoe pit, and I learned what a horde was, a horseshoe horde, and they called it the Cory Horde, C-H, the Cory Horde. What it is that when you throw a horseshoe, and there's another horseshoe that's around or close to the pin, if you horde in closer to the pin, you can actually win and beat with the score point total. Mm-hmm. And so we had the best out of five, and it was the last throw of the last game. And if I threw it right, I would defeat the Americans because it was Canada against the Americans. And I threw it, and I pulled off a Cory Horde, and I inched my way in, and I pulled off the championship.
Yeah.
It was great. And that was 4 a.m, by the way. So none of us could walk. We were staggering. We couldn't even see. We had so much beer inside of us.
Oh, boy.
Because you got to drink a lot of that American beer. And mind you, these guys, they love Canadian beer.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's so great about them. Labatt's Blue, isn't it, that
mm-hmm.
they love?
Yeah.
So anyway, that was great. So I said goodbye to them after a rip-roaring great time. And then I began my journey up to Calgary to see my grandma, who it was wonderful to get the family together. And I just want to mention that driving through Wyoming and Montana especially, what a beautiful, wonderful state. And you know, the Americans have basically stripped and raped America of almost everything that's beneficial and good. It is, like George Carlin said, a gigantic mole. But in these states where there's less people, like in Montana, it is truly beautiful and spectacular. I remember thinking that about Kansas as well. So when you get into the urbanized area, it's just the same as any other spot on the planet. You know, there's pollution and people and it's hectic, noise, etc. But when you get away from that into some of these areas like Montana, and there was this section on the highway that I discovered that I want to go back to that was absolutely breathtaking, and some of these strange looking cliff formations and the river, I think it was the Missouri River running through it. It was beautiful. So I really enjoyed the drive up through. It was very peaceful. I was cranking up the tunes and I was listening to tutorials. I was emojicating my mind. Got to Calgary. It was good to be in Alberta because I'm an Alberta boy, born and raised in Calgary. And my grandma and I had a great connection.
It was her 90th birthday,
yeah,
right?
My sister and brother flew in. My mom was there. And my son Michael flew in just to see grandma for her 90th because she's slipping away. And then we drove back to Vancouver and had a great time, the father-son thing.
And that was on Father's Day, too, so that was pretty cool.
It was wonderful. It was a great gift. It was a beautiful thing. And we reconnected in a great new way as a maturing son. He's now 24, and he said, Dad, I've seen some things. I've experienced some things in my life I didn't understand the significance of now until now because I'm older now and I'm more mature. So, Dad, thank you. Thank you for some of the things that you have done. And that was great. That was brilliant.
Cool. Well, yeah. You got what you asked for, right? That's really nice.
You know what?
Like
be careful what
time.
You ask for. But when you ask for the right things and you're true to your spirit and your life and your heart, guess what? They usually come to you. But
Absolutely.
Be patient.
Yes.
They don't always come overnight.
Exactly.
And I've got to say that being alone and being away allowed me to get deep inside myself. And this is a great experience for everyone out there. If you get away and pull away and have some time on your own, whether it's a day or a week or a month or a year or whatever, travel, do what you need to do. But you will find that being lonely inside of yourself and embracing that and overcoming that will empower you and give you a new sensation, a new drive, a new sense of ambition and clarity. It gave me a lot of clarity about what I want to do in my life. So that was wonderful.
It is good to be alone. And that's what I've said on this trip. I've read like 30 books. And that's what our next topic is all about.
There you go. So leading into that, nice little lead, dear. What you reading?
Well, that's what we're talking about right now is being alone in the nice, quiet peacefulness. I want to read. And I've told our listeners before that I've never really wanted to read before, unless it was a school book or it was Psychology Today or a Time magazine or else it was The Course or something to do with health, because I've read all the health books. But I've never read like novels and, you know, kind of nonfiction, fiction kind of thing. So it's really been a lot of fun for me. I'm really enjoying the sheer escapism is what it is. Now, this particular book that I read was about a 500-page book. It was called Evening Class by author Maeve Binchy. Now, this is the third book that I've read by this author, and I love the way she writes. Her introductions to the characters and the reasons why each of her characters get involved with each other. So what she does, she introduces each character in graphic detail and tells about mouth-dropping events that have happened in their life. And you just have to put the book down and you go, oh my goodness, all these characters meet. And this story is about a woman who introduces an evening class of introductory Italian at an Irish Catholic school. And then it just takes off from there. But the whole point is really about these different characters and how they meet at this class. And it was phenomenal. I just hate it when it ends. I don't want it to end. And now I need a new book to read. I feel like a lost soul.
That's where I found you when we first met. You were a lost soul.
Never mind that.
And then you said, I was once lost, but now I've been found.
Yeah.
So now you're lost again. And now we need
get
a book.
Get me another Maeve Binchy book then. Yeah. That's what you can get me for our anniversary.
Okay.
Hey, sold. Maeve Binchy, and I better be 400 or 500 pages because I never want it to end.
Well, I want to get you like a 10,000 word book so that I can just sort of keep you in that little cubby hole where you sleep and hang out and then just stay away. And when I need you once in a while, I'll tell you to come out.
Anyway.
Okay, dear, that's great. So remember, people out there, read. It's something that our high school students can't even do. When I was down in Alabama, they have such a poor education standard in some ways, and that I think 48% of their high school graduates can't read a book.
How is that possible?
Yeah. So, well, it's because of the decline of the quality of the education standards.
And probably they've got 35 kids in each class, and each kid learns differently. They don't learn the same rate. They don't learn the same way. Some are audio, some are visual.
Well, this is why the way that we teach children in public school is wrong, because it is a cookie cutter kind of turnstile program where everyone's the same and everyone gets the same information. That's like feeding everybody the same. It's absolutely the wrong way to teach people. And then people will say, well, how do you teach them then? Well, why don't you watch the latest Star Trek movie and see how the Vulcans were teaching their students individually. Yeah. They were in these little like iPods and it was all computerized. It was unbelievable as a concept of teaching. We have to have individualized everything because we are so pleomorphic. We're so unique. Our imagination, intuition, our gene pool makes us so absolutely unique that no one is like us and ever will be.
Well, one of the things that I found is I'm a slow learner, but once I get it real good. And it might take me a little bit longer than somebody else, but what they have a school system where you have to learn it in X amount of time and then you get an exam on it, which isn't necessarily...
Just based on memory.
Right, exactly.
Not true learning.
So therefore, maybe I didn't do as well, and there's a million of other people out there the same as me who may need another 6 months to get the same thing, whereas some John Doe over there can learn it in 2 months.
Yeah, that slow learner, that failure might go on to become
exactly
a physicist, a brainiac, but they couldn't fit in at the time.
Right.
And there's thousands of examples of people like that. There's also thousands and millions of people that fail to get through the system and go on to be very successful entrepreneurs.
We know a lot of people like that that never graduated from high school.
Yeah, so for all
even.
Those people out there who didn't graduate from high school, you don't need to go back unless you are so insecure because of it. And that's only because the system is making you feel that way.
Right.
But remember, the less public school you have, the better. It's mm-hmm. like the less refined food you eat, the better.
Right.
Educate your mind with the technology that's current right now, and you will accelerate with specificity to the area of your pleasure.
Right. Because we know a lot of people, our friends, who are very, very successful, who never even made it to grade 10. And it's unbelievable. It's even hard to fathom that.
Well, they learned how to read and write, and that's about it. Everything else is programming, propaganda, right. and a bunch of sludge that you swallow. Mm-hmm. And for me, I did not enjoy the experience except for the sport. But if I were king of the forest, I would change the entire system. I wouldn't even change it. I'd eliminate it, delete it, and start over again.
Exactly. So anyway, the point is learn how to read and learn how to write. And that's what it's all about. Reading and writing and arithmetic. Isn't that what it was all about going to school?
Yes. And remember, you can't get a degree in being nice. So, dear, what's your final word?
My final word is, life is like a hot bath. It feels good while you're in it, but the longer you stay in, the more wrinkled you get.